A friend had asked if we could find a relative on that side for him. We apparently succeeded, but there was a little doubt of the identity, both because he came so quickly, and because his remarks were not as expected. We inquired if they thought the presence genuine, or was some spirit masquerading. We can always tell when the truth is not told. There is a peculiar clouding of the form and appearance. So far as we could tell, he was the one the messenger sought. We wish we could explain this phase of life to you more definitely. It is not easy for strangers to come and to talk freely. Some succeed, others do not. It is a great hindrance to the acceptance of many messages from here. We have told you of many of the difficulties of communication, but you will never fully understand until you come. We have no doubt that this was the one for whom you were inquiring. He was excited over the prospect of talking, and was much disappointed that he could not get through more easily. He came quickly, as you say. We sent messengers, and they seemed to find him at once. You must understand that the service is very complete, much more so than any telegraph or radio that has been invented. We do not always find them so quickly, of course, for sometimes they are far away, or in some work they cannot leave, or are not advanced, or sometimes even, have gone on to higher planes. But this time the one sought was evidently not far away. We are glad to bring friends to you, and hope you can understand some of the difficulties we have to overcome. At another time this spirit did succeed in writing, and the following is a part. You know I did not believe as you did. I thought, if I thought at all, comma along the lines the church had laid out. I do not remember much of my coming. I seem to finally drop into a peaceful sleep. How long, I do not know. Then a new consciousness seemed to come slowly. There was beauty about me, people moving, music far away, but beautiful. But I suppose the music must be from harps played by angels. Old ideas are strong, you know. Then I found I could move. I saw a wonderful shining form near me, my guide, I afterwards learned, and, strangely enough, I felt acquainted with this stranger. He took me by the hand, or so it seemed, and together we explored this wonderful new country. Patient with all my ignorance, wise when I was foolish, tender when I was almost afraid, but through it all, he was leading, guiding me through wonderful scenes, and bringing me to a trust, a happiness and well-being, I never knew before. This was my first experience of the new life. Afterward came the desire to fit myself into the wonderful surroundings, and studies were suggested. Studies? Why, pleasures, I should say. For thought is so quick here that study is the wrong name. Then came moving from place to place, growing acquainted with other spirits. And though I have not risen very high in heavenly learning, I am thrilled with new power and look forward to an eternity of knowledge, growth and happiness. 27 Mysticism. We know that many people cannot think of this life unless in terms of wonder and ecstasy. It seems that all who have had visions of this world have been so overwhelmed with its beauty, that they picture it to others in terms that make it appear far different from the reality. They have caught the beauty and glory, but have not sensed the reasonableness, the orderliness, the harmony. We believe that a mystery is necessary to attract some minds. They are not satisfied with the trials and commonplace circumstances of the earth life, and feel that heaven to be satisfactory must have the wonders, the glory, that not only surpass any of earth life, but must surpass all understanding. It is unfortunate, because such an attitude is not conducive to an acceptance of many of the truths of this life. We wish we could make the world understand that heaven is not so unlike the earth existence. It is beautiful, it is even wonderful. But along with its attractions in that way, there are joys that compare with those of earth in their ability to thrill those who experience them, yet joys that come from experiences here not unlike many that occur in earth associations. We believe we have made this plain in the messages we have sent over, and we hope they can be placed before the world. We know there are things in this life that warrant some of the ideas that are held there. But we have not yet arrived at the conditions where these are experienced. Life advances slowly. No great changes come in a moment. Even death is found not to be the wonderful transition that many expect. Growth, always growth, is the law of life everywhere. We will have mysteries to solve in due time, but they will not be put before us until we can have the knowledge and wisdom that will enable us to master them. It is to us an illogical way of looking at this life. For if the glories and mysteries were so profound, it would necessitate a miracle for their solution by the newcomer, a capacity and experience that no one would naturally possess. If given to the spirit in a moment, it would of necessity so change his personality as to make him a new individual. We see many here who still cling to such ideas, and usually they are slow in understanding this life. It is so different from what they expected, that they are unable to recognize it as heaven at all. A case of obsession. The following is given with Miss Dresser's introduction. The experience recorded below has touched me more deeply than I can well express. A. H. was my playmate as a child, and my companion in girlhood. She was particularly bright and attractive, but her lack of reverence and the absence of anything like spirituality had not then appeared to the degree that was manifested later. The record gives the rest of a story. We will bring someone to talk to you. Whom do you wish? Oh, some of my old friends. We think the old ones will suit your mood tonight. Whom shall it be? 28. Someone I can quarrel with. How about Mr. S., or Dr. B.? I used to have many discussions with them in the way I refer to as quarreling. Sis naturally expected one or both these old friends, as it is usual for them to bring the one for whom we ask. Then this was written, I am here. Who am I? I am not the ones you asked for, but am one of your oldest friends, who might pick a quarrel with you if you are looking for variety. Entirely in the dark as to who this was, Sis asked, did I ever quarrel with you? Yes, truly you did. Sis guessed several without success, and then said she could not remember anyone who might answer the description. You did know me, surely, though I was never sure of your liking me. Sis asked if it had been in either of several cities in which she had lived, and finally if in her own hometown. Yes, though you were not there all the time. I don't believe I know you. You do. She guessed several more without success. Then as a last resort, but absolutely unbelieving, she asked if it were A.H., and was astounded when the pencil wrote an emphatic yes. I don't believe it. I am here, and I have found out what was the matter with me. I was possessed by a devil. There now. This old friend had died in an insane asylum some years before, and Sis could hardly believe that it was she. I have been asleep for a long time, and when I woke, it was with horror as I was shown a picture of what I had been. My poor sister. How I hated her. Hate. 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 Everyone and everything. You will not believe any good of me now, I am afraid, but truly, I am my own early self. Never very angelic, never much good, but always hoping I would be good sometime. When did the obsession begin? I think the beginning was after I went west. I don't know exactly, but the influence did not possess me all at once. First I seemed to think unkind thoughts of people. Then I grew to criticizing them, saying and thinking hard and ugly things. Then of course I lost the love and respect of the friends I had had. Oh, how that evil spirit must have laughed to see its power over me. From worse to worse I went, until I hated my own dear ones, and I suspect even now I have not been shown my worst. 29. I have had a spirit guide, I am told, but this guide could not protect me, because I never looked spiritward. You remember that I was never religious. I never prayed, nor even thought spirit thoughts. I wanted a good time, and many times I succeeded in getting them. I would not go to church. Many things in church seemed funny to me instead of serious. Oh, I can see it all now, and how this natural disposition made it difficult for my own guide to reach me. How could it be otherwise, when I made fun of all religious thought? Then, as my guide could not protect me, the evil spirit saw the open way to my life, to my inner consciousness, and by degrees took possession. I did not recognize the evil, and so became an easy victim. But now you must believe in me and in the change. I did not feel sure of anything except my own rage at life and everyone connected with it. But I'll try now to make amends for some of the things. But, oh, how easy it is to be good here where there is no physical weakness, where there is no discord, where love is the law of life. I never knew what heaven was like. If only the ministers would tell their people of the love and thoughtfulness here, of the naturalness of this life, with its continuous unbroken kindness, and no hell, except what we make for ourselves, the world would be saved. Why don't you tell them?
You mean the public?
Yes.
Why not?
They have been told many times, but they will not believe.
No.
Is that so? Well, I suppose they will have to be born again before they can know the reality of this life.
It seems so.
Most people do not seem to want to hear about it.
Well, we must wait, then, until they come here.
We can help a little, can we not?
Do you wish to help?
Yes, I want to help.
Do you know Dee?
Yes, and she is lovely. She was the one who kept the secret from you until I was ready to talk. I could not express myself at first. But she knew, and waited for me to be ready. We are so glad of her presence.
But how you must miss her.
We do. But we know there are many compensations. Have you seen your father and mother? They are here with me, and the happiest people I ever saw. We are together now, and though I will be in this circle, my home will be with them. We go now. Love and love and more love, in place of that old hatred.
Oh, page 30, how could that have been?
Do they not tell you to forget all that?
Yes, they do.
But it haunts me, I mean the memory of it, yet. I can never be obsessed again, that I know. I realize their power and I know their black deeds. Besides, I am so filled with all the kind and loving thought and service that I see about me, that I could not harbor an evil thought. And this is heaven, a heaven as far beyond what I imagined as the stars are above the sea. Later she wrote again, I am here again, dear friend, and more glad than you can imagine that I may come. I never realized that heaven was so dear.
Why?
It is like a perfectly beautiful, natural life on earth, if earthly people could ever attain such goodness and beauty. I always wanted to be beautiful, and never realized before, that while we are still on earth, we may be creating beauty that will last into eternity. I am not beautiful yet, don't think that. Too much of the old selfishness left. But I will get rid of it, I know I will. How could I remain selfish, with such surrounding love and unselfishness?
Why can't earth people know what is here?
You might answer that question. They will not seek that life, or try to know its conditions.
I know, for I was one of them.
And again, I wish I could give you some idea of the beauty of this life. I never dreamed it could be so different from earth life, and yet so natural. It is perhaps the human life, with the wrongdoing and wrong thinking eliminated, and all the pure, good and kindly nature left. I never understood it while on earth, and I am wondering now how I can make others understand. If the world could know, if it could realize, all would be well and sin forever discarded.
Mary and Dee are trying to spread the truth.
Yes, they are. But the trouble is, they reach only those who are already good and kind. The others will not listen. That is the trouble. Unkind thought, cruel thought and action, nearly kill the soul, strangle it, I guess, so it cannot ever influence the life.
What are you trying to do there?
I am hoping to be a teacher of some sort, I don't know just how. Probably to help those who come over unprepared, even as I was helped. But I am not ready for that yet.
Do you remember N.
W. 31?
Yes, and I have seen her. She is a wonderful spirit, pure white all the way through.
Do you mean that metaphorically?
Yes, both ways, because the spirit shows externally here, and a white soul will have a pure external semicolon, not always white, but a shining and beautiful garment.
We wish you could see Mary and Dee. They are as lovely in dress as in soul, for the outer garment here is sure to express the inner nature.
Mary has been described to us as dressed in silvery white.
She is often dressed in that way, and your Dee has most wonderful garments.
A Parisian dressmaker would be enchanted.
But he would try in vain to reproduce such beauty. It is the soul that shines through, and the life that expresses itself in the outer garment. I haven't much of a wardrobe yet.
I'll hope for a white dress by the time you come.
What color have you now?
A mixed color, some white, but other colors mixed in.
I have not overcome my mortal faults or thoughts entirely. But I am trying, I am.
What do the men wear? They wear a sort of flowing robe, like the classic robes of the Greeks, I think, a little, and these take on the colors of the character too. Some months later, here I am again, you see. For Mary lets me come when you are writing because she knows how dear the earth words are to me yet. What are you doing now? Studying, of course. I'll have to study for a long time before I can begin to help others much. But I do see how each and every one begins their beautiful life here, just by kindness and constant thoughtfulness for others. Never a selfish thought. Think of it, and I was so selfish. Your sister says you were not. No, that is her love. I was selfish. But I did not realize how terribly I had developed that characteristic. It begins so gradually, so in little things, and grows, until like a horrid weed, it crowds out every kindly sentiment. I know it now, and that is how I came to fall into obsession. If I had lived differently, I could have resisted the malicious influence. Some weeks later we were looking over the above record, and Sis asked if A. H. were there. We will call her 30 to. After a few moments her hand and arm were almost violently shaken, and it was some moments before it was quiet enough to write. There was evidently much excitement behind the influence. I am here, and so glad to be called. I could not write quietly. Sis spoke of our thought to use her experiences, and asked if it would be all right. Yes, of course. Do let me help somebody now, if possible. I was such a drag on my sister that I want to help anyway and always. Are you happy? Yes, happier than I ever believed could be possible. I do not quite know how to explain it, but think of a body that is never sick, never tired, and more full of life and pleasure than in the brightest hours on earth. Then imagine, if you can, the perfect peace and affection and unselfishness which are the laws of life here. Then imagine new studies, new opportunities, new surprises, all delightful ones, and a general companionship that fulfills every law of friendship. Then try to be sad or selfish, if you can. I can't, even with the remnants of my old human temper. There was little hesitancy on Sis's part as to whether she would write more. But the pencil went on. May I write a little more? Why, bless your heart. Certainly. It seems so good to come to my earth friends. What are you doing by this time? Studying, I guess, only it seems like play, it is so easy. Oh, you don't know yet the ease with which we can advance in learning. We are supposed to have left our brains in the coffin along with our bodies. But something has taken the place, and of such infinite improvement, I cannot describe it. Only there is no effort in acquiring knowledge goal on, you just want it, and it comes. You will never know a thousandth part of this life, for all the pages and pages and pages that have been written, until you come. Then, oh, then. Happiness and more happiness. Well, never mind anything more now. I know you are ready to have me go. Goodbye. Various messages. The selections which are given here are taken from our records to show the various viewpoints of the many communicators who have talked with us. These are only a fraction of the messages we have received, or the conversations we have had from different ones, but they afford the reader glimpses of character, life and thought in the spirit world that may not have been brought out in other places. The first one indicates something of the interest that is aroused on the spirit side concerning the work of communication between the two worlds. Incidentally, the skeptic will have some difficulty, I think, in explaining how or why it originated in there. Page 33. Subconscious mind of the psychic, which, of course, is where such critics are inclined to place such writings. Without any preliminary introduction, the following was written. Will you listen to one who wishes to know the sensation of talking to someone on earth again, for he has never communicated since he has been here, and that has been long? He wishes to know if you believe that fear of death can be conquered by means of communication? We feel and believe that many would lose such fear if communication is absolutely proven. Would you not think so? He hears through Mary and answers through her. He does not hear earth sounds yet, for he has had no experience. He is interested now for the first time. I have repeated to him what you said. He says that such conversations must take away the fear of death, because in themselves they are a proof that there is no death. He asks what you consider the moral value of such work? We fear that much that comes across does harm. But we believe what is true does enough good to counterbalance. What do you think is the moral value, Mary? First of all, to energize the spirit life on earth. Second, to teach that life there is preparing the life here. In short, to vitalize all earth life with spiritual thought and perception. Does the visitor hear this? He listens and thinks we may be right, but he is slow to receive new thought. Why has he not known of the work of communication? Heaven is immeasurable in space and infinite in its occupations and variety of interests. Not all care to commune with earth, many have never tried, even in all the centuries they may have been here. He will ask one more question. Can sinners be saved and sin overcome by the union of the heavenly and earthly influence? We think so. But, Mary, will you not answer that question also? Yes, and always yes, Mary says. But not under the present conditions of mediumship in general. There is too much self in both receiver and sender. There is too much desire for earthly benefits. All this must disappear and the true longing for the heavenly life must appear in both sender and receiver. Then a power could be established which would turn souls away from selfishness and draw the world into the brotherly love we hear so much about. Along somewhat different lines are several stories that follow. The first came from one who claimed to have known Sis many years ago. He is not a teacher, and has not developed all the spirit powers of which he is capable, but he will express to you his own thoughts as far as he is able. I am here, greatly to my surprise. I did not think of death, nor of heaven, nor of the future life, except perhaps in some flash of emotion that passed almost as quickly as it came. 34. And so I am not well prepared to analyze or describe the visions and wonders of this life. But it is a delight to know that the old earth is not entirely lost to us, and that echoes of old familiar voices can be heard across the silence. I have not been here very long, and perhaps that is the reason I look a little longingly back to the old home place on earth. Everything here is so far above me, so far advanced, that I feel sometimes that I do not belong here, that I am in a great and wonderful world without proper equipment, in a society of wonderful people, yet feeling myself hopelessly ignorant. Can you guess how that is? I have been slow to adapt myself because I had no fitness to begin with. I was not blessed with either a psychic or a poetic or a spiritual nature, just an ordinary man, working along material lines, and never dreaming that I needed any other outfit for this plane except an honest endeavor to live a decent and upright life. And here I am, glad to be accepted, but feeling my ignorance and unworthiness painfully. Mary added, "We have brought this friend to you because we wish you to know what happens to the souls who have never thought of or aspired to anything better, for these are the ones we wish to influence there." Another communicator expressed his ideas as follows: "I'm not of any particular name, age, or dramatic experience, yet I feel that all experience here is dramatic and wonderful beyond expression. Mary has tried repeatedly to give you some comprehensive idea of this life, but considers all descriptions thus far as failures so far as definite descriptions go, and she allows me to speak now, wondering if another influence may possibly give another viewpoint. Life. What is it? Eternity. Why and how? Could you put answers to these questions in words? We fail. Could you succeed? We are out in what is to you the great unknown. How shall we put that unknown into words? Time by human reckoning is no more. The present, fair, joyous beyond description. The future, a happy anticipation. Terms of feeling, you say? Yes, that is true. For the concrete, the occupations, the activities, we scarcely have language to describe. Remember, when you are asking of our occupations, that you are asking for descriptions of activities, of materials, of joys, unknown to earth. Activities? Can you conceive of spirit movement faster than light? Materials? The use of substance which in your language is not material, but in ours more solid and enduring than the earth itself? So how can we bring our activities to your conception? Science on earth is peering into the unseen, into electron, atom, ether, energy, yet has scarcely learned the first letter of the alphabet, has scarcely touched the outer rim of our world. Out of the dozens and even hundreds of experiences contained in our voluminous records, I am selecting several more that will be given without further comment, except to say that they came through Sis's pencil, and if after reading them the critic still insists that they are all from her subconscious mind, he must begin to realize that the burden is assuming enormous proportions. 35. My name is Julius. We would not be known to you. Many souls are wandering through the heavenly places, and many look back longingly to their old home on earth, for some of us have left the those we loved, and we wished to tell them that all is well. We are of those who wish to send good news to earth and tell those we loved that heaven is heaven after all, for we were of a company who scarcely believed in any life beyond the grave, nor did we realize any God in the universe. We were fed up on realism and atheistic literature, and our lives were spent without hope of any existence beyond the earthly one. And so we have remained in the unconscious state for a long time, years, I think, though one does not measure time here in that way. Now that we have come into the consciousness of life, real and unending life, we wish to send the wonderful news to those who like ourselves were groping in darkness. Mary is not here, but I do not think she would object to our writing. I am writing for several, I am trying to express the thought of several. I have not been conscious long, but I begin to see the marvels here and the possibilities for the soul. Here the writing changed and became more emphatic. What a mystery! What a wonder! What a joy it all is! We are here trying to express the inexpressible. Can you understand? I am another of this group. I am not Julius. I am one who never thought or cared for the future beyond the mortal life, just interested in the occupations and pleasures of the present. What shall I say to help souls there to begin to think, really think, along the borders of the unseen? Mortal mind cannot comprehend fully this life, the human brain is not capable, and probably a wise ruler intended that we should live one world at a time. But there is no reason why the human brain should not accept one thought and make it the center of influence in the mortal life. If I could give the thought, it would be something like this: I am living in a mortal world which is the first stage of the human existence. During this stage I am preparing for another one, and that other and farther existence is dependent upon the unseen qualities of my soul, and the education I give to these qualities. This is very crudely expressed, but if only the one thought could sift into the human brain, of there. The writing stopped, but soon began again. Mary is here and has met the souls who have been trying to send news to earth. It is well. For they are trying to tell their old friends of the reality of this life, that they may come to them without the years of ignorance and delay. We wish to give a few words from a stranger who has just called. You know little of the spirits wandering through space. Some of the spirit forms are always near. We are not limited to any sphere, that is, any for which our advancement is sufficient. And all can come to earth, do not forget that. This one was wandering about, and he is one who still loves those who are there, and wishes he might get word to them. Can you take his words? 36. I will try, certainly. Well, here I am then. Here I am, trying to get back to the old earth, when I was so disgusted with it in life that I was ready to leave. I was a businessman, and one of those despised creatures sometimes called politicians. We were a queer lot, and I often cringed inwardly at the selfishness and deceit we all practiced. But one selfish idea led to another, and I guess we were too deep in the mire to pull ourselves out onto firm land, to a firm basis of honesty and unselfishness. I had to come here to realize the depths of trouble and wrongdoing with which we were connected. And yet we passed for pretty respectable men there, and were looked up to as prompters of industry and big business. Well, I see clearly now. It is not easy to see clearly there, when manifold interests and many people are concerned in the success of a certain something. Is there any special message you wish to send? I wish I could say it. I wish I had the power to make my words sink deep, deep into the consciousness of every leader of men, of everyone connected with the money-making business of life. It does not need to be big business either, for the dishonest methods are insidious, and start far down the scale, with pennies and dollars as well as with millions of money. Ah, well. The old world will go on, I suppose, sending all sorts to this side.